Hello and welcome to Kicking Tires. My name is Jimmy.
And I'm Justin.
And today is June 22nd, and we got a little bit of automotive news today. Not that much, but a little bit. But we started off with Honda. Honda is, I don't know what they're doing, to be very honest. But they release a photo of the CR-V's interior. But it just doesn't look like anything all that special. I mean, it could be a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean, it looks like
we're the used Civic. To this interior, yeah, which is on the Civic, very similar to the HRV,
yeah,
and the Integra.
Yeah,
yeah.
I took a picture of them like side by side, and it's you cannot tell the difference which one's which. I mean, the center console is a little different between all of them. Yes,
yeah.
But like, there's nothing too special here. So, I mean
they're kind of patenting that, not patenting, but like that's their design now with the vent.
Yeah.
With the little toggle, kind of retro look. I think that's kind of nice, but then now we're bored of it, right? Like, as we've seen it already. So it's no surprise. When it first came out on the Civic, you're like, oh, okay, that's kind of neat.
That's like, pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah. But now it's just like, okay, we've seen it, been there, done that. Yeah, there's nothing to differentiate it, but I think that is probably the point. I mean, well, even thinking, you know, Corolla and RAV4 have very similar interiors.
Well, Corolla and Corolla Cross interior is basically the same.
Yeah.
So, like, when I was looking at Civic and HRV, that having two very similar interiors, I'm okay with. But I feel like the CR-V should be a little bit different.
Yeah, especially because like the higher trims are going to be over 40,000, and whereas the base Civic starts at like low 20s.
Yeah.
You do want something to differentiate it. But you know what? I think that's kind of how everyone in this marketplace plays it. Like for a while, a Tiguan was the same thing, right? Like the Golf started at like 21K, and the Tiguans can work their way up to like almost 50, right? And in some senses, the Golf had a better interior, especially the last generation Tiguan. Really mm-hmm. cheap, really cheap plastics, even if you got the higher trims. So, I mean, people who want the SUV still get the SUV.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nothing exceptional, but I think it is, it's nice enough, and their infotainment works a bit better now than their old one.
It does work quite a bit better. It definitely does. The seats are very similar to the old generation CR-V seats. They look super flat with like just that horizontal bar. Mm-hmm. But I did notice the stitching that's on there. That actually looks kind of cool. Stitching
orange, copper,
as well as the steering wheel.
Right.
What I did notice, because I did some like zooming in on this one photo that they sent out, no cooled seats. So still on the CR-V, no cooled seats, while many other manufacturers these days are incorporating that.
Yeah, because I'm assuming this is a pretty high-end trim with the Bose stereo. So it's got to be at least a touring.
I mean, you know, you would think they would put their best foot forward, right? So this should be either their touring, but it could also be their sport trim because of the stitching. It could be just one down and have that sport trim.
Oh, possibly. And the background is very off, looks kind of Grand Canyon-y.
Yeah.
So maybe it is kind of the more rugged trim with the orange trim. Yeah.
The full information, I think it's July something. I can't remember exactly the date, but we'll get a little bit more details as time goes on here. But from what we can see in this one photo, honestly, if you look at a Civic, you basically are looking at a CR-V.
Yeah, but you know what? We talked about this, 2 weeks ago, and because the HRV is a complete write-off for this generation, this is actually okay. Just pretend the HRV doesn't exist, and okay, this is just like an upsized Civic. Yeah, and that's perfectly fine, because it will be better on gas, it'll be bigger than the HRV, and the price is probably not going to be that far off anyways. The price is probably going to be more competitive if you go segment to segment with this CR-V. So,
and this CR-V is going to have the hybrid as well. That's
yeah
already something that they're saying. So it comes with a better drivetrain.
Yeah, so don't let it bother you that this will have basically the same interior as the HRV. That was one of the nice things about the Qashqai I found, with the previous generation, was that it did feel nicer because it got like a trickle down interior from the Rogue. I kind of like that they share it. I don't think it necessarily makes your Rogue feel worse, but it does make the lower trim, lower model seem better. And there's probably some cost savings here and there with sharing so many components. Like the pillars look very similar.
Yeah, I was looking at the pillars, like the base of it, the where the speaker grills are, looks exactly the same.
Yeah, so sharing parts, as long as the parts are decent, which so far on the Civic they seem okay. I will say, I've worked on the new 11th gen Civic and I've worked on the 10th gen a lot because of all the Type R's that come in. The 11th gen is noticeably flimsier on the door cards. The door cards, the door panel itself is very flimsy. I don't know if they use a thinner metal, but you can, like, if you roll down the window, because we do this when we sometimes take the door card off to do speakers. The door card, the flex is actually pretty insane on the 11th gens. So I think there is some cost cutting involved, but that's not surprising from Honda. Yeah. Well, seems like everyone tends to upgrade their cars, but Honda is like not one of those companies that think traditionally. They're like, how little can we get away with and still sell the same, if not more, cars?
It's exact same with Toyota.
Toyota does the same, yeah. But Toyota did upgrade some interior bits and pieces. Like, it does feel less cheap compared to the equivalent model from 5 or 6 years ago. I can't say the same for Honda. Like, they feel more modern, but I can't
Well,
say they feel less cheap.
so this is all based on just looks. A big part of interior is how they feel as well. Of course, we won't know exactly how it is when we get until we get into one, but just from the looks,
Well, and
to
our
me, it's
experience with the Civic.
yeah. Well, the Civic interior feels great. Front, anyways, the back, for a lot of these economy
It's
cars,
solid.
they have like cheaper door cards in the rear where you don't get like the soft touch materials on the door cards compared to the front because why bother, right?
The sun visors are massive too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that on the CRV teaser picture, because that takes up what, 60, 70% of the width of the car, of the interior.
It does, yeah. Well, I'm sure it's just because, like, I'm sure it has like a taller window, so it kind of needs the bigger visors. But the overhead compartment looks kind of blank as well. Like, it doesn't look like there's too much going on there, but we'll figure that out when the car comes. But before that, or actually long after that, anyways, Sony and Honda actually signed a joint venture. This is actually pretty cool. They're calling it Sony Honda Mobility Incorporated. Great name. Putting the two names together. Well, I wonder why it's Sony first and not Honda first. But anyways, it's a 10 billion yen capital where they're basically trying to put, well, cars together. So they established this company in 2022 to begin sales of EVs for 2025. So, like, only 3 years in the future. That's actually kind of like short term for a brand new company to launch. So, like, are they like, is this part of the GM joint venture as well? Is this something completely different? I don't exactly know, but I'm curious what's going to come out of this. Is that Sony car that they kind of released and showed, is that what Sony and Honda will be working on? And then Honda and GM's going to work on another platform. Don't know, but Sony makes good electronics. They've
Yeah,
been
Sony
around
probably needs someone to
forever.
build their cars, which
Yeah.
kind of makes sense. Honda's okay. I will say this, the Sony name, I know their cameras are pretty badass right now, but Sony, like, in the 90s, no one's household didn't have a Sony branded product. Like, at least I felt that way. Like, everyone had something Sony, either PlayStation, you have a TV from them, a hi-fi, DVD player, whatever it might be, VHS, something. You had something Sony, alarm clock even.
I remember my TV.
I had the Sony dog, the robot dog.
You had a Sony dog?
The little robot dog.
You bougie person.
No, it's not the fancy, fancy one. It's a... what is that dog called?
Aibo.
But I had like the crappy version of it, I think.
That's what you thought. Yeah.
No. They had like better versions like later on, like more realistic ones. But mine was like, you just pet it and it just like rolls around. It, like, it wasn't that impressive, nor was it that expensive. I had like, I think I had a Sony MD player.
Everyone had a Sony MD player.
Yeah. You, like in the 90s and early 2000s, Sony was like, the penetration of the market was quite insane. And I think the same could be said for Honda, where you had brands like Subaru, Nissan, Hyundai, Kia, which are very second tier in the 90s or early 2000s. But things have kind of changed over the years. Honda still has like a decent market share, but they're not where they once were.
No, definitely not.
Yeah. And I think Sony does the same thing, right? Like, Gran Turismo 7, so far, I'm liking it. I bought a PS5 just to play Gran Turismo 7. But every Gran Turismo before that, they just phoned it in, right? And it's...
I disagree. So you can totally put the GT7.
I don't think it's... I think it's an improvement because they didn't improve anything on Prologue, GT6, GT Sport. Since
G6 at least online worked.
Oh, true. Wait, GT7 doesn't work for you?
Well, no, it does work, but yeah. Like, do you have to quit out to change tracks?
Oh yeah, it's pretty dumb. Like, there's a lot of dumb stuff with it. But overall the physics have been improved.
I mean, physics has improved, visuals is of course improved, but like the overall
no, because they didn't even improve that on GT5, if you think about it. GT5 and 6.
They definitely didn't, but like the overall gameplay on the old Gran Turismos was just better. Like, there was shortcuts to go to your car, mm-hmm. where you can modify it from the car menu. You don't have to go to the... There's just different things.
And my point is being that Sony and Honda both had their really high highs, yeah. and then just coasted on that. They're both, you know, Sony still excels with their camera, and there's some Honda products that are kind of cool still, like the Ridgeline.
Had to dig deep for that one.
I don't know, but like, you know what I mean, because like Honda's just they like to coast. They've been coasting on the J series, they've been coasting on the K series, right? Like, they had the... they were at the pinnacle of whatever they were at in the early 2000s, and then just try to not really do much since then.
You're absolutely right, because like those two bases of engines are still widely used today, and every K product and that they have, that's all they have.
Mm-hmm. Then there's like more mediocre ones, like the R.
They don't series. Have the R anymore.
Yeah.
Well, not any North American cars anyways.
Yeah, I don't think they do, but transmissions, like
well, that wasn't really them, that was GM's fault.
That was GM in the early days, but their manuals also sucked. Their manuals are made of glass. Synchro's made of glass. And even their 9-speed is not that amazing either. Right. This is... you can't just... You Accord guys like to point it all at GM. Accord and Odyssey people like to point it at GM. But Honda did this. You don't hear GMs tend to not last that long, but maybe their transmission outlasts a car. But GM is not known for crappy transmissions. It's when people partner with GM, they end up with crappy transmissions. I had a BMW 328 that had a GM partner transmission, and I lost reverse.
Reverse is not a gear that you often need, you know? So it's fine.
Yep.
It's fine. Speaking of BMW, this one is a little different. This one's one that you probably haven't had before. Because this is the first ever BMW M3 Touring. Well, first production M3 Touring. Because they did
like an E46.
Yeah, E46 concept M3. That was really cool.
Yeah, and then people have done the iteration on the F80 chassis as well.
But this one's legit. A
factory wide body wagon.
One wide body full wagon, no carbon roof though, because they couldn't get a carbon roof for this long. They couldn't get anyone to basically manufacture that for them. So it's aluminum roof. Unfortunately, or
aluminum's still good.
Yeah, it's, you know, just more sparks if you flip it over. But this is such a beautiful vehicle. First things first, we're not getting it. So
let's get that out of the way.
You know, if you want one in North America, you can't until, you know, 15 years down the line. But it's not coming to North America because we don't get the wagons here. So, you know, in order for them to bring this here, they need to bring the regular wagons here, which they won't do because it doesn't sell. Let's just be honest. You know, they'll sell a bunch more X3Ms than they would sell of this anyways. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. You know, whatever. We don't get the nice stuff, but this looks absolutely amazing. Yeah. The base model is going to be the competition. So it's going to have X-Drive as MX standard. Drive. Yes, it's an MX Drive, which means it does have a full rear-wheel drive mode that's built in.
Yeah.
No manual option, automatic only. Which, you know what? It's a wagon. I think that's absolutely fine.
And you know what? The grill, I've heard a lot of people shut up about the grill.
Yeah.
With the wagon, because they're like, you know what? It's been 2 years. We're over it.
Yeah.
And it's kind of badass because it's a wide body with a huge freaking grill and over 500 horsepower. And it is just so cool. And I've always been on board with the grill. You know me. But yeah, this thing is very desirable. And you know what? It's the first really good wagon in a while because I don't like any of the E63s. I don't like the RS6. Mm. I do like the way the RS6 looks. Driving it is very disappointing. Everyone raves about this. You know, we finally got the RS6 wagon. It looks amazing, but it drives so crappy. It is so boring. You can't, there's no sensation whatsoever. It is a pure boat. But I've driven the G80 M3. It is not a boat. And yeah, no, it's got a solid use of space. Because let's face it, the E46 generation, a little bit cramped, 3 Series, you know.
Yeah.
Backseat, Canon family, sort of, you know, in
maybe
a pinch.
Not. Maybe not.
Not the best family. But G80, based on the G20 platform, interior space wise, pretty solid. It's kind of the right size car for a family, I think.
Even the last gen was pretty good.
Yeah. F30, F80 gen, good size, I think, like for a family car, like a legitimate backseat, legitimate trunk that, you know, adults can sit behind one another. I had an E90 328. I just talked about it. And that one, I couldn't really sit behind myself. Right. Like, and I'm not super tall or anything. And it was hard to get in and out if I set the front seat to my position. But yeah, I think this is the right size car for a family. I don't think I think the E's and the 5 series and the RS6, those cars are a little bit too big. They're just too heavy to have any real fun with. It's, people love to just take them 200 miles an hour on the Autobahn, but for me, this is my cup of tea, and I would totally get one. You know what? I figured out what the difference is because I used to be about this life too, right? That's why I had the GRS Ti hatch 2011 model. Because it was like, oh, well, this is the one car to do it all. Winter is awesome. I can track it. I can move furniture in it legitimately. It's a pretty big cabin.
You can vape in it.
You can vape in it. You can, what else can you do? You can like pop Monster Energy drinks in it. And no, that was like I got that lifestyle. Not the whole vaping and Monster Energy drink lifestyle, but I got the appeal of that. But then at the end of the day, I'm like, you know what? It's not really great at any one thing. And then I end up just because we're in North America, maybe cities, I think space is not that much of a luxury. We have room for a second car, perhaps a third car, or in my case, as of yesterday, less than 24 hours ago, another car. Because it's just like you have room, and I can, if I don't care about it, I can even park it on the street, so I can fill up the whole street with every car I want. And it's not really a luxury you get in a lot of parts of the world. In Hong Kong, for example, the parking spot costs more than your car. Even if you have a very nice car, like a 911 or something, your parking spot may still cost more than that 911. That's not the case here in Canada, at least for the time being. Parking spots are not cheap per se, but they're not that ridiculous. So my point being, I don't know if I need a jack of all trades car, but this is not much of a jack per se. Right, like a G80 is a solid, it really does a lot of things well.
Yeah, it really
I
does. I just gotta say this rear three quarter view, I love,
Oh
love,
yeah,
love, love that
in that
rear
frozen
quarter.
black.
That haunch is just amazing. It looks like it sticks out like a good 8 inches off the shoulder line there.
Yeah.
It's so massively wide.
It is an amazing car that.
We'll loop back to the car that you just bought because I didn't hear about this till just now. So I want to know.
Oh, I shared it last night on Instagram.
Oh, did I just not see it?
Yeah,
Or
I
am I
think
just
so.
blind?
Check's phone. But yeah, why don't we move on to the next topic first? We'll get back to our non-news related
Oh, that one.
stories.
That one. That
Yes.
one. Okay, I did see it. Oh, I
Yeah.
didn't know that was yours. I thought it was just.
It yeah, we'll talk about it in a bit.
All right, we'll loop back onto it. The M3, I don't think that's a pricey enough car, so we'll move to the next car that's a little pricier, and then we'll go to the last car that's even more pricier. ProDrive. ProDrive, as you may know, helped Subaru create the 22B that was sold about 25 years back. 424 of those were produced, and they were amazing. And they still go for a lot of money today, like over 100K.
Over 200K.
Over 200K?
Yeah.
Dang.
For 22B, like the actual wide body, factory wide body, yes. I
Yeah.
do know you can. I have a friend that had one, kind of a fake version of it with a coupe. It's still sick. Those are not worth nearly as much. But
Well,
yeah.
ProDrive decided, you know what? 25th anniversary, let's create a P25. It's basically, well, very similar to the coupe 1998 style WRX XTIs. There's only 25 of them sold in the UK, and they are going for, I converted to Canadian dollars, $730,000.
Which you aren't getting a bad value per se, because it is not a 1990s car.
No,
right?
No, it really isn't. It's modern technology. So let's go through some specs here first. 2.5 liter boxer four, you know, I'm pretty sure it's the same old good old EJ. 400 horse, 600 newton meters. There's a 6-speed sequential semi-automatic gearbox with helical cut gears. You got paddle mounted shifters. It has a WRC derived launch control system and anti-lag. 0 to 100, it's going to be under 3.5 seconds, thanks to a lot of weight being reduced, primarily because of carbon fiber. This weighs under 1,200 kilos, 2,600 pounds. It has a carbon hood, carbon trunk, carbon quarters, carbon roof, and carbon bumpers. It has adjustable center diff with a limited slip front and rear, Bilstein dampers all around, AP brakes with 380 mil up front, 6-piston calibers, and 350 in the rear for 4 pistons.
That is insane for how... I have the same brakes on my Supra, and that thing weighs 1,000 pounds more than this. And they're amazing on that.
And to, you know, because your standard 22B, I think, it had like 16s back then, won't fit over those AP brakes. They give you ProDrive 19 by 8.5 with Bridgestone Protenza 235 tires. Like, specs wise, this is absolutely amazing.
It's the best looking car like to come out of Subaru ever. Like, even Subaru, but like of that generation. The Evo's nowhere near as clean of a line as this car. GTR is not really. The 22B is perfectly styled, like, in my opinion. It is iconic. This is the car that made me, you know, I don't know if I talked about them. Subaru was my dream car as in elementary school. Like, World Rally Blue, rally, some kind of rally car wagon thing. Colin McRae, that generation, that was my dream car, was something along these lines. Specifically the Bug Eye, because that's kind of when I first really got into cars, like 2001-ish. But the 22B, I think, is I can't find a bad line on it. And you know what? The cool thing about it is, the regular Impreza is not a looker, right? Like, you see a base model 95 Impreza, it's looks pretty nasty.
It's pretty just bland. Yeah, there's nothing really to it.
Yeah, it's pretty bland, and it's pretty ugly, like compared to even the Civic or Corolla at the time. The Impreza is not a great looking car to start off of, but the coupe lines help it a lot. The wide body, the way it was designed, is just so nice, because anyone could do like the Evo thing and just give you box flares and call it a day, which they kind of did with the STIs, I think. But the 22B wide body is really something
else. Yeah, the flares on this thing, they're smoothed out, and they actually incorporate into the look a lot better, and they just look so good. I mean, it looks a little different than the 22B. I think I'm not sure if it's exact same in terms of styling, but to me it looks a little different than the 22B that I remember. But it's still just such a pretty car, and I love those little like dinky mirrors that they have on, just to help with aerodynamics a little bit more.
Oh yeah. No, the real 22B doesn't have that.
They did say that the suspension is tuned for tarmac. This is not.
It's not a rally car. It's not low profile 19s. The fenders are not cut for a lot of clearance. It's fairly low slung. Yeah. So,
and I'm pretty sure you don't want rocks going up on those carbon fenders.
Yeah, that's $1 million car.
Yeah, but absolutely beautiful. The full debut will be tomorrow at Goodwood Festival of Speed.
I'm really curious who will buy these, because Because let's be honest, a lot of the rich guys, because you have to be rich to buy something like this. You have to be really rich to buy something like this. Because, you know, if you're okay rich, you buy something like a GT3 RS that you just park your money. Right? Yeah. Like you had the money, but you know you won't lose any of it. You know you can liquidate it in a heartbeat. But something like this is not something you can liquidate as easily. Like the market is small for people that want to pay $1 million for a Subaru. Right? Like
that is true. I mean, you know, when you say the price and Subaru, but because it's limited to 25, I don't think it's gonna be that bad. I think there's still gonna be value there. And you know, a lot of us, you know, grew up watching WRC.
Oh yeah. And, or playing Colin McRae rally thing.
Colin McRae rally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just one of those things that we kind of grew up with. A lot of us has that kind of nostalgic kind of hit on these cars.
You have to be really, really rich because you could buy a lot of good property. You could have a lot of cars that are much more sound investments. This is the kind of car that really separates the real enthusiasts and the people that just, you know, it's a transaction. And that's the one thing I hate these days is that every car is just a transaction for a lot of people. It's like, yeah, it's kind of nice, but it always goes back to like, no, I'm not going to lose money on it. I'm going to make money on it. And well, my whole is value. Yeah.
That's with any car these days. That's really any car these days. But, you know, $1 million Subaru, that might sound like a lot, but our next car, it's $7.2 million or $7.4 million USD. This is the Pagani Huayra Codalunga? It's Italian.
Yeah.
It's Italian. I can't pronounce it properly, so I'm not going to try.
You couldn't even spell it correctly on our pre-show notes.
You know what? It's way past my bedtime, so it's normal. There's only five that Pagani is making. All five. You know what? All five are sold, Dustin, so you can't even buy one if you wanted to.
Exactly. Because you know what? It's so expensive, and it's so rare, and people snatch it up because guess what? This is one of those cars that it's not going to lose value because it is so rare. But objectively, it is but ugly compared to normal Huayra.
This is a type of car kind of like in Fast and Furious where you want to keep it in your Dubai tower. Under a secured locker.
No one is going to drive it. The Sultan Brunei probably has six of them, even though they only made five.
I was like, what? How? That math?
Yeah. He has six just rotting away. Like, these are the cars built to rot. I guess so, I would put it that way.
So this Huayra, it's the long tail. And they've basically elongated the rear end to make it a long tail. Like Justin said, it's not the prettiest thing. I'm not a big fan of how it looks personally. The front end is quite mesmerizing, let's say.
It just looks confused. Look at the mirrors. Okay, the front bumper, you guys just have to look this up. Like, this looked like a failed 90s concept car. The color,
the 90s, it's very 90s. The color is very 90s.
It's very 90s, and the styling is very 90s. Like, if you told me this was like a Chrysler project from 25 years ago, I would believe you because you know it is so.
The Chrysler project from 25 years ago looks better than this.
Yeah, well, you know what? This might be a controversial opinion, but I don't think the Huayra looks very good. To begin with, I think the Zonda looked way better. If you made me like,
I agree. I think the Zonda does look a lot more exotic than the Huayra. The Huayra just, I think it's more art piece. Well, like the Zonda is an art piece as well, especially the later ones. Mm-hmm. But they made the Huayra much more
stylized
compared to the Zonda, where it's more a little bit more functional, I think. Yeah. And the Chrysler that I'm thinking of, the
ME20 or
I forgot what it's called. Is it ME20? Is that what it was called? That's the one I was thinking of. No, not ME20. Chrysler Concept. It was amazing looking. I thought it was like MP12 or something like that. No. I gotta find it.
ME412.
ME412. Yeah, I was pretty close. MP12C.
Yeah, no, that looks better than this for sure. Like, I mean, dude, just look up the Covadonga. Front, back, doesn't matter. It's ugly. And people will just... The really rich people, the billionaires, like you're going to be a billionaire if you're buying a $10 million car. Because the insurance on this thing, the maintenance, if you care to maintain it.
You don't have to maintain it if you don't drive it.
You don't. And it's literally just going to be parked, and it's not even pretty to look at. Like, that's how much money you have, is that you can, because like I said, the normal rich people would just buy, you know, a Ferrari F8, a GT3 RS, a GT2 RS, something like that, that is kind of a safe investment that you can still drive. This level is really something that you won't even drive. You will park to look at it. And the fucked up thing.
Yeah, it's fine.
The messed up thing with the Huayra is that it doesn't even look good to just park there. So, like, what is the point?
Well,
cars trigger me.
Here are two things that, you know, car enthusiasts might be interested in. The twin turbo 6-liter V12 makes 840 horsepower, and the new ceramic coated titanium exhaust weighs 9.7 pounds. Interested now? Still no? All right.
It's not going to be the fastest thing around a track. It's definitely not the prettiest.
It's not going to even see a track. Let's be honest. Maybe.
Well, no. Some of these rich guys will pay another guy to drive it around a track, and then just so they can have the bragging. Look, my car ran circles around your car. Like, that's it. Like, if you care about how a car drives, you don't buy it. Car like this. I don't know. But Pagani is not what it used to be.
It runs Pirelli P0 courses, 265/30 at the front, 355/25 R21 in the rear.
Yeah. And you know what? Everyone says the same thing about Pagani, right? The conversation always goes, look at their attention to detail.
Yeah.
Every bolt is so nice. The writing has to be perfectly aligned. The carbon fiber is perfectly aligned. And I'm sure it is. But at the end of the day, do you think about if it's actually good? Like, you can have your details all right, but look at the color scheme. The light blue, millennium, silver blue thing that, you know, was kind of trendy 20 years ago against the brown. It's not even a nice... aesthetically pleasing combo. It looks like, you know what this reminds me of? This cabin reminds me of that arcade game. I don't know what it's called even. Burnout? I don't know.
Justin, you don't have the taste of a...
I'm just such a curmudgeon with this car. Like,
you don't have the taste of someone that would be buying this kind of car. That's the problem. If you had $10 million to spare to buy a car, then you will love this interior. That's the thing.
That's it's not going to be driven. No one's going to sit in it. Like, you just,
it doesn't matter.
Look at my shifter. It's so cool.
It does not matter.
There are some details that they do right, but man, this thing is not a good looking car.
I think last one, the Huayra Tricolor.
Tricolore.
This one was much better in terms of the looks.
Yes, because they pulled off a very similar thing with the
Zonda
Tricolore. But yeah, the Huayra again is not a pretty car, but this just takes that to the next level.
Yeah,
I think for the money, you could get something a lot prettier that you could actually drive.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. This is the ultimate flex, right? Like that I can buy something that is ugly and really expensive. Because it's easier to buy something that is actually fun to drive around a track, actually, good looking, and objectively is a good car. But no,
At how proud
that is FU money, Horatio.
how proud Horatio is standing next to
He
us.
doesn't even look. Give me more Christian von Koenigsegg with his, yeah, with his no eyebrows, raised eyebrows look.
All right. That's really it for this week in terms of news. Let's talk about the review just a little bit here, because this one was an interesting car that I just posted last week,
Hey,
or
I
just on
remember seeing
Monday.
that car at the shop. It
It was a slight problem with it after I filmed this exact part, actually. So I had the chance to drive the 2022 Jeep Grand Wagoneer Series 3, which is the top trim, 131,000 Canadian dollar, 6.4 liter Hemi V8 with 471 horsepower. That's the big 392 Hemi. It sounds amazing. It's quick too. It's like 6 seconds 0 to 60 or something like that. It's ridiculously quick for such a heavy vehicle. 6,000 pounds, can tow like 9,800 or something like that. It's absolutely massive. This is like all things good with American vehicles, and I love every single bit of this vehicle. Every bit. There was nothing that I didn't like about it. Like, fuel economy wasn't even that bad. I got under 20 liters for 100 kilometers. I was averaging, I think, 18. The only thing I had was, for some reason, after I parked a car for a bit, I started it, sounded very weird, and I was down on power. Knew something was weird. Restarted the car, check engine light was on. Of course, went to Justin, and Justin pulled the code and said that I think it was a crank sensor
Yeah, he's a camera
error.
crank sensor, yeah.
It was either one of those that had an issue. But we reset code and everything was fine afterwards. But like, you know what? Even that, I don't mind. Brand new car has a warranty. If
Yeah,
something does go
first,
wrong,
and it's a
just
first
bring it in.
model year kind of thing.
Yeah. Absolutely massive luxury boat. Like comparing this to the Navigator I had recently, not recently, like a year ago, just doesn't stand a chance. The Navigator's interior is not as good as this. Escalade, I would say the only thing really good about the Escalade is you have the advantage of getting that V model now. So if you want that, next kind of tier of like sheer speed, you can get that. The Escalade interior is a little bit more modern than this. This is like old school luxury. And Escalade also has Super Cruise, which works really well, but on limited highways.
And you know what? I like one thing I really like is we were talking about this recently with the Infinities, is that people back again in the 90s and 2000, people cared about luxury brands where Jeep is like, you know what? We'll have a luxury model. It's going to be the same brand. It doesn't need to be under Chrysler or I don't know, Town and Country or something like that. Like it's going to be a Jeep. And we'll still make our crappy Econobox based cars with cheap plastic interiors for $25,000-$30,000. But we'll also make this. Like, and I don't see anything wrong with it. I have no problem with the same brand, and it gives you something to step up to within the same brand, which I think is nice that it doesn't make the entry level product any less entry level, but it doesn't really elevate the entry level model either. But and nor do I think the entry level model makes this look bad. Like they're different cars for different budgets and different needs. It is what it is. You can look at it objectively. It does not have to be quote unquote a luxury brand, right? And they do this really well, I think. Like you don't get in this and think of your rental Jeep.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. That like there was a fridge, an actual fridge in the center console. That's, you know, S-class level of luxury. But you're not paying S-class money here. And you get much more space at an S-class. And I think it was quieter than an S-class.
It does. It is rated at 13 miles per gallon city, but
Yeah, but that's rated.
it is not of the times, I
No,
guess. It's
but there is that new engine coming, that Hurricane
twin turbo
twin
or
turbo
something.
V6,
Yeah.
and that's going to have more power. It's going to be more powerful and more efficient, a little bit anyways. So
But you know what? If you bought something like this and you live in the suburbs, you know, it's a six-figure SUV. The fuel economy is kind of the least of your concerns, even with the gas prices where they are, in my opinion. It's not like a deal breaker.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
I
The
mean,
fact that
if
it's quiet, it's smooth, it accelerates well, that's more important than anything. Yeah. As long as the
absolutely.
engine light doesn't come back, it is solid.
That's why they got dealers. That's why you have a warranty.
And you know what? In North America, you've got a solid dealer network with
Yeah, absolutely.
Chrysler. Like there's dealerships everywhere that should have no problem servicing a car like this.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's talk about your purchase.
Yeah, my purchase. It is kind of a random coincidence. Like, I have been looking for this car for quite some time now, over a year.
This exact car or just in car in
Pretty
general?
much like this exact spec,
Okay.
which is how you say, I wanted this exact color. I didn't want any other color because the movie did not have any other color. It is this color. So the car is a 1986 Toyota MR2. I'm starting to look like a major Toyota fanboy. I'm really not. Like, I don't know how to like just like I have a Supra now, I have two RAV4s, and I have the MR2.
Well,
And
Supra is not really a Toyota.
exactly. And I have no problem with that either. And like I'm really not a Toyota fanboy, but there are specific models that have a special place in my heart. Like the RAV4s and this MR2, which is the AW11 generation, the boxy kind of trapezoidal looking
First
car
gen MR2.
with the pop-up headlights, first gen MR2. I drove a second gen for a little bit. We had one in the company. It's one of our employees has it now, and it's okay. That's the one that a lot of people like. That honestly, that's the more popular. That's the most popular MR2, arguably, the SW20 generation with the turbo. It's got good power, lots of lag. Looks like a Ferrari. This one, it does not look. This one looks more like a Fiero than a Ferrari, for sure. Like, there's no confusion there. But I wanted a red one specifically because it is the star of Young and Dangerous, Hong Kong
That's what I
Triad.
thought. I was like, is it Young and Dangerous? It is. Okay.
Yeah, it's the first Young and Dangerous. There's like five or six, but this is the first one, the one that everyone knows as the boss's car was the red AW11 that gets stolen. Pretty interesting watch. You can watch it on YouTube. They have subtitles, so if you don't understand Cantonese, you can still watch it. But yeah, this specific car, and the reason I say this specific spec is not only because it's red, the red, you know, you could ultimately paint them because all of them need body work at this point. But the I wanted this motor, which is the 20 valve motor. I'm not going to talk about how much I paid for it because it was actually a really good deal. I don't want to anyone thinking I ripped this guy off because he came to me with the price. The car was not listed for sale anywhere. I saw the car visiting my friend's shop in Vancouver. I'm like, do you know if that car is for sale? And he calls the owner, and the owner calls me the next day. He's like, it's for sale and I'm firm on my price and this is the price. And I'm like, I am not, he's like, don't haggle with me. I'm not going to haggle with you once he told me the price because it was so low that I'm like, I couldn't say no.
It's $500. Don't haggle with me.
Yeah. It was like the price of like two iPhones. Right? Like tell you after show how much it was, but it's 180,000 K, so very low.
Oh, that's nothing.
It does have rust on the quarter panel, which is to be expected. Now, just to go back in time, right? So when I first picked out my first enthusiast car, which was the 1990 Miata, the one that everyone had, the 1.6 classic red, everyone has this car. Everyone at one point had a pop-up headlight Miata, and it was great, right? Like I met
a lot of people,
through this car. Like I have no regrets with that car. But before I even looked at this car, I wanted an MR2. They were all rust buckets, they were all leaky because the t-tops, this one actually has a sunroof because it's 86, so it doesn't leak, doesn't mold, doesn't smell like anything weird, which I love. It doesn't have AC, doesn't have power steering. No, I don't think any of them do. Doesn't have power windows, doesn't have power door locks. So it's very analog car. The Miata does have power steering, and that makes a big difference. But this, because there's no weight on the front, it actually drives pretty okay with manual steering. The SW20 we had, that was a little bit harder to drive because it had 225 front tires, and it weighed a lot more. That one with manual steering was a bit of a chore to park. This one, I could care less, really. It is way too much steering feel, if that's a thing. Like, it's enough steering feel that makes you nervous with a car because you feel every little undulation. You feel every, if the road is slightly crowned, you feel that. And it doesn't make you feel confident to push the car. That's what, like, a lot of people don't get, a lot of people that don't actually drive hard, they don't get that. They're like, I want the heaviest feeling. I want the most connected feel ever. And in some ways, it's a detriment because it just holds you back from really pushing. And I think a lot of new cars are a lot easier to drive fast and push to the limit because they don't have as much feedback. But no, this car, pretty clean, straight body.
Supercharged?
No. So, I was about to say that, which is why it was the exact spec I wanted. I don't want a supercharged one because, so the NA ones make like 100 horsepower.
Right.
Supercharged ones make about 140, but they weigh a bit more and they are not as reliable, I guess. There's more stuff going on. This one had a 20 valve swap, which is the motor that I want.
Has a 20 valve swap?
It has a 20 valve from the later AE101.
Yeah, yeah.
AE101 Corolla is like a
front the two door, the front wheel drive one, the SR5. Yeah, the
20 valve, like an initial D, the silver top 20 valve, has ITBs, but because mine is a silver top, it doesn't really have ITBs. It still has a MAF sensor and like one throttle body kind of thing. But the black top version, which I can convert it to 4 ITVs, no problem. Just have to buy a different ECU, but it's got the right engine, and that is the thing, because you can't buy this engine in North America. The previous owner, who had this car for 20 years, he bought it for $3,000, which is why he sold it to me for cheap, because he bought it for $3,000, put over $10,000 into it, and he's like, it's 20 years, like, it doesn't even matter what I sell it for. And it's just, you know, if I were to build a 20 valve now and swap it in, it would cost more than what I paid for this car.
Well, for sure.
So yeah, it's got the right color, it's got the right engine. I
couldn't say no.
I couldn't say no because I would gladly pay double what I paid for this car. And I still gotta spend probably like $3,000 or $4,000 fixing up the rust and the paint. Overall, the paint is not bad, but I do need to fix up the rust. It's not faded like my NA Miata was. Interior is pretty good. The seats are horrendous. He put in some like Rep Recaro, the Integra Type R style.
Oh, Recaro's
the reclinable ones.
The super common.
Yeah, the really calm, and they don't even feel secure. Like the seat back rocks a bit, so I'm gonna get new seats for it. It's a new car to me, so at least I'll vacuum it out and I'll put my new seats. I ordered floor mats for it. I don't think I will change up the look too much, but this is like such a dream car to me, and I'm like, if I don't buy it now, when will I ever find one? Because this car is 36 years old now. And I always remind myself, like, dude, when I was in elementary school, 36-year-old meant that jalopy that Archie Andrews drove, that Ford Mustang, like 1964 Mustang, was 36 years old when I was in elementary school. And I looked at that like it was ancient. And now I look back at this MR2 and I'm like, this is as old now as that Mustang was. The first generation Mustang was when I was in grade school, right? Like in the year 2000, that 1964 Mustang was 36 years old. And now in 2022, this is 36 years, and it doesn't feel like it. Like it feels like a modern car. And you click everything feels right about this car. It needs some engine work, which is ultimately why he sold it for cheap, because the rust is it to be expected on these cars. Given that's almost 40 years old, but
I wouldn't say it's almost 40 years old. That hurts, bro.
I can't believe things came as old as 86. But yeah, the engine is running really rich right now. It's running fine. Like
Oh,
it is,
it's better than lean.
it's better than lean, and it runs okay at higher RPMs. It just has a hard time idling. It idles. It doesn't stall, but it doesn't run great, which is fine. Like it came with an extra clutch that he's like, I never installed it because he said I didn't need to. So, but there's been a lot of maintenance on it over the years, and I'm just really happy with this car. It will really. I don't see myself ever getting rid of it because I did tell some people, how much I got it for, and they're like, "Oh, that's such a steal. You'll make so much money off of it." I'm like, "That's not the point. The
That's
point
not what
is
I'm
that
thinking of.
I'm gonna pour like four times this car, what I paid for this car, into it easily, because that's how bad I want it to be perfect. This is like that build. I had my Miatas, I had my fun with Miatas, but this is the one I want. I think it's not going to be a track car because it's an MR2. They're not great track cars. They're floppy chassis. The weight balance is all off. The car is too short. It's not a. It can be fast, but it's scary going fast in these things. It's not a Miata.
Just doesn't have that balance.
Yeah, but it is something special, and it has the right engine that I think we can make it scream. I will be really happy with it with the ITBs, and it has a manual sunroof. So it's 86, so it doesn't have T-top. So it has a manual sunroof that has just one position. It's a
Pops open.
vent. Yeah, it has manual roll down windows.
I started because you said this was like your kind of childhood dream car. I did a quick search for my own childhood dream car on Craigslist and I couldn't find any.
Which gen Accord is that?
How childhood dream car was never Accord. The Accord was this is actually a decent family car. My childhood dream car was a Datsun 240.
240. That was on the list, especially. So my first car was a 300 ZX, the Fair Lady.
I
That was the
remember.
car my dad bought it for me to learn stick on, basically.
It was red on red on red.
No, it was white.
White
White
on
with a
red.
blue interior.
Was it white on blue? I thought it was red on
Yeah,
red.
the car was originally blue. It was repainted white, like a GM moving van kind of white, like Chevy Express white. Just the shittiest Mako paint job. Like, or it wasn't that shitty of a paint job. It was just like a very generic white. That car was okay, but when I got that car, I'm like, oh, I want a 240Z. But you know what? A 240Z with the old school carbureted engine, It's not something I would probably baby it too much. This still has like what feels like a modern engine, because I was talking like this engine in a healthy state, you know, it can make 160 horsepower,
Right.
which my tech today was like, that's kind of sad. I'm like, no, 160 horsepower in a car that weighs 2,100
Nothing.
pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, this that 160 horsepower is what you get out of an ND1 Miata, which is not a slow car by any means. ND2 obviously faster, but 160 is no slouch. It's like the perfect amount of street power
It's
because
acceptable.
you get to ring it out to 8,000 RPM every chance you get. Which, like, what the reason the GT4 is so miserable is that you can't enjoy it on city streets, right?
So you bought a new car that's also mid-engine rear-wheel drive so that you can ring it out to
Exactly.
red
This is
light.
the mid-engine car that you can actually enjoy on the street. Because a GT4, like, I've been enjoying the GT4, but I wouldn't publicly broadcast how fast I've been driving on the city. I'm surprised no one's called the cops on me. Because the car has amazing visibility, and the car is so capable, and it just you click the paddles twice, it shifts like you shifts faster than you can think, and you can just cut in and out of traffic so fast in it that I'm not gonna broadcast that how ridiculously fast it is, and that's just to get a pulse going. Whereas this at 80K feels kind of exciting, like you feel like you're going fast. Or the Supra or the GT4, like these cars, you can go 200 and it doesn't feel like this going at 80.
No, that totally makes sense. I mean, when I had my NA Miata, my NA was a real poop box.
S-box.
It was
Primer gray.
I bought it for $1,000. That's
With the
how
hard
cheap it
top.
was. And then I bought the hard top for 500, and I sold the car for 3 grand after. Like, it's an NA Miata. You don't lose money on those. I mean, if I kept it longer, I actually would have made some more money. But like, I remember I was just driving like 50 top down, and I was like, this is actually quite as scary already.
Yeah, I remember taking that car through like to Market Crossing, like over the Queensborough Bridge. And you know the exit you exit left to, towards Marine Way, and I'm like going maybe 80 through there, which honestly I could go 80 in my F-150 through there. But going 80 in a Miata all side like not sideways, but like all roly poly oly,
Yeah.
it is kind of entertaining. Like
Entertaining, scary, you know, all those.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's really it for this week though. Congratulations, Justin, on your kind of,
Don't even know. I've lost count.
I was gonna say dream car, but it's not really dream
It
car.
is not. It is a dream build that, like, I've wanted to have a really good build for a really long time. And it's just, you can't really do it on a new car quite how I would want to. Like, I want to relive those days when I had a Miata and just
Those young days.
you know what? I technically still do have a Miata that Wes is driving right
Oh,
now.
jeez.
It's still under my name, the green car.
The green car that you literally have
The
forgotten.
green car. That, you know, the Miata is great and all, but it's I don't know. It's too easy. Like it's just not special enough of a build, if that makes sense.
It sounds like you need something that's more British. Something that won't start up every time.
Oh, well, you see, this thing runs
It
rich, but it starts up
runs.
every time, and it's actually really good. Like the way the seller described it to me, and the way my friend's shop described it to me was, we can't figure this engine out. We don't know what's wrong with it. You're gonna have to spend a lot of time and money on it. And I drive it. I'm like, this thing drives fine. It doesn't drive great. It idles rough, but it drives fine. And I don't know. We'll update you guys with the progress. You know, follow me on Instagram. I'll probably post random updates and things we do with it. But yeah, I'm trying to I'm excited to get this going. Like, I'm one of these people that, like, I have a very addictive personality. I'm realizing that now that I'm on the cusp of turning 30. I just, if I want it, I have to have it. And I cannot, I don't know, I can't hold back, especially if I can afford it. Because I can definitely afford this car. And even whatever problems it may throw at me, I can afford it. And that is like, you know that TikTok sound? It's like, you know, when you have adult money, because this is like, this build, when all is said and done, it's still under 20 grand. It will be under 20 grand. Everything I want to do to it, it will still cost me less than 20. And I'm just like, it's not the end of the world. I know I won't get any money back for it necessarily. And I'm fine with that. Like, it's just, you only live once. And this is that car that is like, you only live once. It doesn't make any rational sense because it's not, when I was young, I had to get the car that at least made sense. Like, I can meet a lot more people in a Miata because a lot more people drive Miatas. I can autocross it. I can track it and be a lot more competitive in that car because it's just naturally a better car. And there's more parts availability. There's more forum resources on that car. You can't beat a Miata. The answer is always Miata. And it's an amazing driving car. The pedals are perfect. The seating position is decent. The throttle response is not bad. Like, it makes the right noise, kind of. It handles, like, everything it does, great. But it's just, I don't need to be that rational anymore. I think the Miata was a bit too rational of an enthusiast car. And now it's like either an E30 or something like this, right? Like, it just, they're not perfect. And that is perfectly fine.
That's exactly what you want.
That's exactly what you want in a vintage car. Cause come on, it's almost 40.
Yeah.
It's almost 40. So
let's stop saying that. Makes me feel sad. But I think that's really it for this week. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. We'll catch you next week with more automotive news.